Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And many thanks there to Brian, Laura, Rachel and Father Paddy Byrne for all their contributions and that. I want to move on for the moment though to Maeve Kelly. Good afternoon, Maeve.
Hi, how are you?
Maeve, you were in a very serious car accident in 2016. Can you just take us back to that day and describe what happened?
I was travelling to Roscommon Town to pick up my daughter from the cinema and I was in a head-on road collision with a man who suffered with severe mental health issues. He overtook and drove straight into us.
As you were driving, the car was coming straight at you?
Yes.
You were very seriously injured yourself in that accident.
I was indeed. I shattered my right leg, which has a metal pin from the hip to the ankle. I broke the left leg at the knee joint, fractured my back, I broke my neck, I broke several ribs, and I had a traumatic brain injury.
Wow. And that's, we're going back 3 years in that
case.
And I presume you're still dealing with a lot of those injuries.
Breaks heal, but, you know, you have to contend with muscle and nerve damage. And, you know, a brain injury can take from up to 8 years to find new pathways. So I'm still learning new body sensations. You know, the things that I used to know, I had to learn all over again.
And was your daughter, had you picked up your daughter at the time of the accident?
No, I had my teenage daughter with me in the car.
Oh.
She was badly injured too. And my daughter that I was on my way to pick up came on the crash. So it was very much a family ordeal, as you can imagine.
Absolutely. The driver of the car that crashed into you was fatally injured in that crash.
And he's deceased, yes.
And he died.
Yes.
But there was some very shocking revelations down the line at his inquest.
That's right, yeah.
So his brother told the inquest that he had his brother had a history of very severe mental illness.
That's correct.
In fact, I have a quote here from that from his brother's testimony at the inquest, saying that allowing him to drive, that's allowing his brother to drive, was like giving a gun to a child. He didn't know what he was at. And he said he had warned the HSE that he would kill or be killed just weeks after he drove into your car. When you learned of the situation, because obviously you must have been wondering what was going on, because, you know, the fact that this car seemed to overtake and come right at you. Did you know pretty soon after that that the driver of that car had issues?
Absolutely. You know, I did. And it was very clear to me on the night, you know, when we were driving into town at the time, you know, I put my hand across my daughter's leg and I just said, look, we have nowhere to go. What's he doing? And I did swerve to avoid him. And at that time, he still followed suit towards me and his lights went out. And I woke up 8 or 9 days later in critical care in Tullamore Hospital. And I did know that there was something not right.
That this wasn't just somebody momentarily losing control of the car or something like that?
No. And, you know, it's very, very sad, you know, to think that there's a life gone. I was very, very angry, as you can imagine, for what had happened to me and happened to my kids. But at the same time, knowing that it wasn't his fault.
Yes, obviously. If he was ill, he was ill.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand that now. I get it completely, you know, because I know that man is deceased and I have full empathy and compassion for his family. But, you know, he shouldn't have had a license.
And what is the position, Maeve, do you know, about driving and having a license if you have mental health issues?
Well, in our country, as far as I'm aware, mental health is not listed in a legal disclaimer attached to the Road Safety Authority or their guidelines, should I say. You can disclose that you have a history of whatever it is, but there is no legislation attached to it to back, you know, to back the guidelines to say, OK, if you have severe unresolved mental health issues, whether it be psychotic depression, paranoid schizophrenia or psychosis, anything that can leave you maybe detached a bit from reality, you know, there's nothing, no legislation there.
So there's guidelines. I've been handed the thing here, which lists a very long list, I have to say, of diseases and disabilities which need to be reported on application for or renewal of a driver's license.
Yes.
And you know, you've things like, you'd imagine, like epilepsy and strokes, mm-hmm. fits or blackouts, any type of brain surgery. And then you go down and there is a reference to serious psychiatric illness or mental health problems.
Yes.
That's one of the issues you should report if you're applying for a driver's license. But are you saying that there is no legal sanction?
Yeah. No, there's not. There's not even a fine. You know, if we had a legal sanction attached to that, and should somebody get in behind the wheel of a car that's known to the Road Safety Authority to have severe issues, there should be also a fine in place.
And I wonder, is there any onus on, say, medical practitioners, if you know a patient of yours isn't in a fit state to drive, is there any onus on people in that position to alert, say, the driver's license?
No, there isn't. There's not.
Because we know there is. I know, because a lot of families, and I've had this conversation with people in the past, a lot of families struggle when, say, their parents or their elderly relatives get to that stage where they might not still be safe to be behind the wheel. But there are very strict regulations, as I understand it, for older drivers, that if once you're past 70, you can either get a 1 year license or a 3 year license, and it's up to a GP to certify that you are actually fit to drive in those circumstances.
Do you know what? Besides that, if you have one drink, your car can be taken off you, and you can get so many years off the road for one drink. So, if you know, the authorities say that one drink has the ability to leave you with distorted ways of thinking when it comes to safety and driving. I mean, somebody with severe mental health or unresolved mental health issues, how can it be okay and that it's not part of legislation? But yet it's legislation, you cannot drink with one, you know, drink and drive. Or, you know, if you have severe vision impairment, your doctor has to sign it off to say you're vision is at a certain standard before you can drive your car. So why is severe unresolved mental health issues not under legislation?
And again, I don't know how familiar you are with the legislation in this area, Maeve, but are other disabilities or diseases legislated for in this way? I mean, if you had, for instance, a head injury, epilepsy, I suppose, is one that a lot of people would be aware of, is something you wouldn't be able to drive.
You see, there's people out there who have all these illnesses who are able to manage their illnesses on medication, right? Mm-hmm. There is also the flip side of that, but there's people out there who's not managing very well, like the man who ran into me.
Mm-hmm.
But there should be somebody in the background who's able to say, well, this man should not have a license or this lady shouldn't have a license. You know, they're not fit to be on the road. I mean, as the man said at the inquest, you know, his brother having a license was like a child having a gun.
But I suppose some people would worry then that if you say everyone who has been diagnosed at any stage with a mental health issue, and I mean, are you including in that like anxiety, depression, all those, the very wide spectrum of mental health
There is a wide
issues,
spectrum,
obviously.
But I mean, you can have anxiety, PTSD and all of these things, and you can happily drive. I'm talking about somebody who has severe unresolved mental health issues, that is a frequent visitor to, you know, a psychiatric unit or to a GP. A GP and the HSE should know which patients are, you know, should be on the road or who's not fit to be on the road.
And are you saying that it should be similar to how we deal with more elderly drivers or motorists as of now, that there should be shorter license terms given out and fitness to drive permits required?
I think I think that a licence eligibility should be assessed at frequent intervals. Do you know what I mean? If somebody is known to have severe unresolved mental health issues, or if there's a very elderly person who has eyesight problems, no matter what it is, that if they're assessed at frequent intervals, it'll give a doctor a better idea.
My only sense, and it makes eminent sense, obviously, that anybody who if there's any question mark over their fitness to be behind the wheel of a car, there should be assessments done. But I'm imagining that if you throw the net very, very wide, that the GPs could be on permanent duty testing people for driving, you know, for their ability to drive or fitness
to
drive.
No? If you have somebody who's under the care of a GP who has severe unresolved issues, right, the GP has an idea of, you know, the extent of that person's health or the severity of it.
And are you saying that presumably you've to tick a box if you're applying for your licence. I haven't applied for a licence for a while now, but you have to say that you don't have any of these conditions that could affect your judgment or your ability to drive. So you're saying that if you wrongly tick that you don't have one of these issues,
yes,
and it turns out that you do and that you have been diagnosed as such, that there should be severe penalties for that. Is that how you're saying? Because I'm trying to figure out how it could be policed.
I mean, you know, when you think about what happened to myself and my family, and this isn't just about me, we're talking about the country and every individual out there that gets into a car. You know, you want to drive and feel you're safe on the road.
Indeed.
You know, it's for the whole country. It's not just me or my kids. You know, obviously it has left a question mark every time I get into my car. Are we going to be safe going into town? Or no matter where we're going on a journey. You know, but it's not that. This might save lives. Not just the individual who has the issue, but also other members of the public. And if it saves one life...
Indeed, and I just think about that. I mean, when you get in behind, you still drive yourself, Maeve?
Yes, I do.
Do you find that? I mean, the trauma of what happened to you, of a car coming right at you, in those circumstances, it must play on your mind an awful lot. Because as you say, no matter how safe a driver you are at the mercy of everybody else on the road with you when you set out on a journey.
Absolutely. But come here, I fall into that category too, that, you know, I ended up with PTSD, severe PTSD, getting in behind the wheel of my car when I went back driving. I thought every car that so much as touched the white line was coming at me. I'd be one of them people that would have to tick a box. But for me, you know, when I get into my car at night to drive to town, I know my limits. I know, you know, there are times that I'll put my hands up. I'm not going to get into my car at night and do a long journey knowing that my response, that I'm extra sensitive now. Mm-hmm. You know, until I feel I'm okay on the road. I can drive during the day, no problem. I can drive into town at night, but I will not do a long distance journey at night.
And given, as you say, that so you had obviously a diagnosis of PTSD.
That's right.
Because of what happened, which is entirely expected, I would have thought, given what happened. But do you think you should now be assessed before you get your next licence? Or would you put yourself into that category of somebody who would require ongoing assessment?
Absolutely.
And you'd have no issue with that?
Absolutely none whatsoever. And I think that should be right across the board. I don't think that I'm any different to anybody else. And like I said, there's people out there who manages things very, very well, and then there's others who don't. Like, I know my limits.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to get into my car at night. If I'm feeling anyway, you know, hypersensitive on that day, I'm not going to get into my car and drive that night. Because for me, it has lessened over the 3 years, of course. I mean, even as a passenger going back 3 years ago, it was a nightmare. I couldn't deal with traffic. I couldn't. I just hated everything about being on the road.
Well, I'd say fair play to you, Maeve, for actually, you know, going back and driving, because I'd say a lot of people who had been through your experience might find it very difficult to face into that again.
Well, it was the first thing that I did, because I knew if I didn't, I was going to head for trouble down the line. I'm glad now that I did. But I know my limits. You know, there's days I'm great getting into the car, and the days that I don't, I just don't drive. And that's what I'm saying. Some people know when they can and when they can't, but there should be something in place to protect road users.
Absolutely. Maeve, will you stay with us? I need to take a break now, but we're going to we have another caller I want to talk to about this issue after these.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Francis O'Reilly, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Kathy. How are you?
Francis, you know exactly what Maeve is talking about.
I do. I know exactly it. We went through all of this coming up to 5 years now, 5 years ago, with my father. Same issue.
Okay, so your father was he actually lost his life in a car accident?
He lost his life. Yeah.
And tell us what you discovered about the driver who crashed into him.
Well, at the day of the trial, he was found not guilty by virtue of insanity.
And what was the evidence in that, Francis?
The evidence that the doctor stood up and he said that he fitted the criteria of a man to be insane.
And had he a history of mental health issues?
At that time, we weren't aware of it. But the day of the court, it came out that he had previously done something similar in Germany. He had a history of mental issues, yes.
And just take us back to the actual, I mean, what do you know about the accident itself, Francis?
Well, the morning of the accident, this is his wife speaking now, this is her quotes, that he was apparently taking a shower without water. Mm-hmm. She had been on to him for numerous days prior to that for to take his medication, which he refused to take. Then he said he was taking it. But anyway, in the heat of the hunt, he left that morning. She left that morning to go to work. He was to take the child to school, their child to school. And she seemed concerned. In her own words, she was concerned he wasn't well. But she wasn't concerned enough to stay at home and take the child herself. So she rang him twice. When she got to work, she rang twice to see was he okay, and he said he was fine. But he got into the car, he took off, he remembers everything. He drove at speed from his house to the heading for the school. He broke traffic lights, he overtook cars, he brushed them off the road. He showed nothing, he showed no respect for anyone that was on the road. My father's car was stopped and he drove straight into him, lifting the car up into the air, killed him straight away. He got out of his car. He punched the car, the windscreen of his own car. He left his child in the back of the car with injuries, thank God, minor injuries.
Yeah.
And he walked past my father as if he was a piece of dirt on the side of the road. Witnesses there were trying to wake my father up. They got this smell coming from the car. They thought it was going to go on fire, I think. And he walked past them as if, as I said, he was a piece of dirt at the side of the road.
And as I say, he gave evidence afterwards that he thought he was fleeing from a devil.
He was fleeing from the devil, and God told him that he'd be fine. And God told him the same in Germany, that he'd be fine. And he drove into a wall. Now I know my heart and soul that morning. If he had missed my father and drove into a wall, and if he got killed, God forbid, he got killed and the little child, I know what the verdict would be then. It would be a suicidal job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know you could say that's speculation, but that's what it would be. He had previous, we were told, no, lovely family. You know, and his wife was very concerned of the morning, of him, of the killing of my father. But she did nothing about it.
But I suppose, again, I mean, I wasn't in there, and I appreciate how traumatic and horrific this is for you and your family, Francis. But I suppose she couldn't have known what he was going to do, really, could she? Could she have anticipated what had happened?
Well,
what would happen?
I just said to you there that he had prior, you know, and she knew he was getting one of his episodes. And he had been off of tablets for some number of years for the men who needed him.
And I suppose if we go back to what Maeve was saying, like he would be an absolute candidate for what Maeve is calling for, which is somebody with a history of severe mental illness would have to be assessed for fitness to drive at regular intervals. I'm sure that you'd go along with that, I'd say, Frances, would you?
100%. She's 100% right. Everything she said is what I would love to be able to speak out properly, but she's after just saying it there a few minutes ago. She's 100% right. Like, he got his hands on a vehicle, which he should not have been allowed to drive on that morning. How he got his hands on insurance, I don't know. He didn't own the vehicle. His wife owned it. And surely to God, she has to be responsible for whoever drives her car. If it had been a gun, you're responsible. The owner is responsible for the gun. If it goes missing, you're responsible. You have to report it.
And again, that issue that he had been involved in an accident in Germany in the same circumstances, you would have thought that would be something that would impinge on his ability to get a licence in any jurisdiction.
But these people seem to be moving from, as I say, town to town. They're moving around. They're in Germany, they're in America. They came to Ireland, now Switzerland, back to Switzerland. So if he is still in Dundrum, where he should be, to get help, that's all we wanted. We didn't want a rope around his neck or anything. It was a pity when it happened in Germany that he didn't get the help, and we wouldn't be going through what we are going through now. That's all we're looking for. They're slipping through the system. And when I say they, I mean they. Because he doesn't have the ability to pick up a phone and give his details about insurance or anything. Someone put him on the road.
Well,
this is my issue.
Well, I mean, just to be careful, Frances, of what we do know and don't know. I mean, he was going through obviously some sort of a psychotic episode, from what the evidence was at the time that he was involved in this terrible crash. But you know, maybe in other circumstances, he was well enough to look after his own affairs.
Well, there is no evidence to say. To say what you're supposed to have to say, you know. Everything points toward he's not a well man for a long, long time.
So the bottom line anyway is you would absolutely support what Maeve was saying there, that there is obviously people out there who should not be behind the wheel of a car in any circumstances, and this should be set out in legislation.
Of course. If the man was taken, we were told today at the court, if he had been taking his medication on a regular basis, he'd be fine. But he wasn't. Now, who can control that? I don't know. Who can control that? I don't know. But surely they should be seen by a doctor every 3-6 months to make sure that they're taking their medication. And even if it goes to having to have them blood tested to make sure it is in their system.
And tell me about your father, Frances. Was he what age of a man was he?
He was 73.
Oh, so he was a young man.
He was a young, fresh man. He was looking after my mother. My mother was at the stages of early dementia, and he was looking after her. He was dropping his 2 grandchildren to school that morning. He had called to the house that morning with some kind of messages, whatever, and he said, I'll take them down, I'll take the boys down. And on the way back, this is what he missed.
That is a tragic, tragic loss. Frances, I'm going
to... It's a tragic loss, but I don't think lessons will be learned from it until, you know, people... I was at a rugby match the other night and the song came on, stand up and fight. And unless people stand up and fight, it'll be just another statistic, you know? That's what it'll be.
Francis, I'm going to have to leave it there for today. But it's an issue that is a very serious issue, and we will probably come back to tomorrow with the calls we're getting in on it. But I'm going to have to take our last break now.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Catherine Thomas in for Ray next.